Next case is 08-2391, State of Ohio versus Douglas Futrell. Mr. Cook.
This is getting smaller and smaller.
Good morning. May it please the court, Mr. Chief Justice, Madam Prosecutor. This matter, or Your Honor, I would ask for 3 minutes to reserve the conclusion of my argument.
Your time there on the clock.
The issue presented to this court today is a narrow one, a sole assignment of error, and it deals with the possibility, the legal right, for a citizen of the state of Ohio to seek relief by the trial court that sentenced him or her for multiple convictions, one or perhaps more, of which are ineligible to be sealed, where others may be sealed, assuming that all other factors apply.
Counsel, if I might clarify a point, because it really wasn't very clear in either brief, I assume from the argument that all of these charges and convictions were under one case number as opposed to be multiple case numbers?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Five charges, all misdemeanors, under one case number.
Thank you. That helps.
As a practical matter, how do we even do this? Because does that require the clerk of courts to go in and black out lots of the indictment that has anything to do with this particular charge that may be dischargeable? How do you physically go through a massive record, to say you had a trial even, and expunge just portions of documents and records?
Your Honor, that seems to be probably the most difficult sticking point of this question. And I find it admittedly a frustrating question, because it seems to put form over substance. It seems to say, if this can be done legally and it's proper and the statute of sealing, the statutory scheme work does not prevent it, we're not going to do it anyway because it's going to be difficult for our clerks to figure it out. And I don't really have a great answer. I know that raises a tough question.
The statute really doesn't even allow it. It says you have to seal the record if the court orders it sealed. And in some of the convictions, it's proper to seal them, but not in all of them. And since there's only one case file, how can you both seal it as to counts 1 through 4, but not seal it as to count 5?
Well, that is exactly the question Justice Stratton asked. And my response is that we propose a method where the clerk simply seals the conviction, the initial conviction. Right now there's a—
But that isn't by statute. The statute already directs what needs to be done. You really want to go to the General Assembly and ask them to modify this statute to conceive of some way to accomplish what you want. We can't order that, can we?
I think what we're asking is less. I think we're asking the court to read the statute to provide for something. The statute provides in a proper case that the entire record could be sealed. We're saying that why can't we seal those eligible statutes, recognizing the one case, the one charge in this case, cannot be sealed? And we're not even really asking for the entire record to be sealed. We're asking for something less. We're asking for the forced convictions to be sealed with I suggested, and I don't know if this is the only way, but a nunk-pro-tunk order going forward on the docket, on the record, that simply shows the one remaining conviction, which is the aggravated menacing charge.
So if you had, let's say you had had a trial and you had a jury interrogatories and jury verdict forms and then convictions, and you managed to get one of them, or four, let's say you got four of them expunged and one not, you're just saying that the actual entry of conviction is modified to only reflect the one not expunged and all the rest of the record does not get sealed?
That's what I'm suggesting. And I don't think it matters whether it's a trial with interrogatories or an admission on the record, because we recognize that he can't seal the entire record because of the one charge. But it's very important to this citizen, to any similarly situated citizen, somewhat similar to what happened in the case right before us with one of the questions. Why does it matter? What was the jeopardy to the defendant, I think, was the question. And the answer is, it's a lot better to go through life with one count of misdemeanor aggravated menacing than four multiple convictions that all occurred out of the same incident, where you are otherwise eligible to have the record sealed.
Counsel, is there anything in the statute that precludes what you're asking, that says if you have multiple convictions under one case number, you can't do it?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, and that, I think both sides conceded that there's really no case. There's two cases that are close. One is from this court. It's the Scanlon case, which I believe Justice Stratton authored. And there's one from the 8th District where an individual had a DUI. In the one case, in Justice Scanlon's case, the individual attempted to seal a DUI. And the DUI charge is listed as a specific charge under the code that makes it not a first offense. If you have a DUI, you're not a first offender. My client's conviction for aggravated menacing is not listed, and there's 16 offenses that are listed in that section that make a conviction of any one of these 16 offenses, you're not a first offender, so nothing else matters. So it's distinguishable. We both touched on that case. But there's nothing specifically that says you can't do it.
So, and I guess the argument boils down to, just because it may be difficult for the clerk and the trial court to do this paperwork-wise, clerically, that's not sufficient to deny your client the statutory relief of an expungement for these expungible offenses.
That's exactly what my position is, and I wish. I listened to some of the very complicated and issues just today, the cat tax and things. This court deals with very difficult and complicated matters every day. I can't believe that we would deny this opportunity for a citizen if otherwise he could do it, but for we're going to have trouble figuring out how the clerk's going to docket it. If I lose this case, I don't want to lose because that's going to be the reason. And I understand there's some complexities there, and it's going to be, I suppose, on your should
but,
you.
But, counsel, is there even anything before us or anything in the record? I mean, the argument here is that the appellate court exceeded their authority by taking, some kind of presumption that this is an impossibility for the clerk to do, when there's no evidence in the record that this is an impossibility or clerically, a too tough of a nut to crack, is there?
Your Honor, there's nothing in the record, and there was nothing in the trial, at the hearing. In fact, not as a side note, but the state of Ohio did not object to this in the trial court. They questioned the M4 domestic violence charge, and they obviously conceded that we were not trying to steal the aggravated menacing, but the prosecutor in the trial court said, I have no problem with what you're trying to do. So there's nothing in the record to indicate that this can't be done from the clerk's perspective or from the agencies that are forced to simply change one entry on their CCH or their docket or the court's system to make it.
How would you accomplish it?
My proposal, and certainly subject to modification, is that we put on that the conviction as it stands now, that just the convictions, that entry, is sealed because it can't really ever go away. It's just sealed, and a nunk-pro-tunk order of conviction for just aggravated menacing is put on the docket. And my client will live with everything else that's there, recognizing.
So you want this court to order the clerk to seal the record of conviction in, assume we say case number 150, and that's sealed. And then in the same case, you want this court to order the trial court to issue a nunk-pro-tunk entry of conviction on one count in the same case that we've already ordered sealed.
Well, but I'm not ordering, I'm not asking.
That's why I don't understand what you want us to write to order done.
I'm not necessarily, and again, I understand that the dynamics of the sealing statute, well, I'm playing with the words a little bit. I'm not asking the case to be sealed per se. I'm asking for something less than that.
So you don't want the statutory expungement to be followed in this case. You want a judicially fashioned remedy to try to accomplish sealing four counts in one indictment and not sealing one count in the conviction in the case.
That's fair, but based upon the statutory framework for sealing, we understand.
You want us to fashion a judicial remedy in line with what the legislature has authorized for this case and similar cases.
I think that's fairly put. What I'm suggesting to you is that there's nothing in the statutory scheme work that says that a defendant, citizen, applicant, whatever you call him, who is otherwise eligible, who has met the criteria, and there's a number of elements, who's met those elements, who's rehabilitated, the state doesn't object, the interests of the state do not outweigh the interests of the defendant. All those things are there. And we're suggesting, why can't we seal 2, 3, 4 convictions that are eligible to be sealed, recognizing that this other case, in this case, the ag menacing charge, cannot be sealed.
Mr. Cook, does 2953.31 serve as any impediment to your argument, which says when two or more convictions result from or connected with the same act or result from offenses committed at the same time, they shall be counted as one conviction?
I think that I would argue no. And the reason I would argue no is that the purpose of that statute is to allow for an individual who has multiple convictions occurring from one incident or event to still seek the remedy of sealing. And if that language wasn't there, then anybody with more than one conviction, even if they occurred out of the same event, would be foreclosed. So I think that it doesn't apply directly here. I think it is intended for a different reason. And I would also point out that if you're in any way balancing this, or if it's in any way a close call, I would ask you to consider the remedial nature of what we're talking about here. And I cite a number of cases in the brief. I'm not going to raise them now. But every time we talk about sealing of records, expungement of statutes, getting a fresh start, this court, the Court of Appeals, we talk about the remedial nature, the idea that it's there, that close questions are to be resolved in favor of the remedial nature of the statute, to be resolved in favor of helping the citizen who seeks that result. I would also ask you to review this under a de novo review. I mentioned that. I think the standard of review of abuse of discretion is inappropriate as this raises a question of law. I have 3 minutes. I will reserve that time, and thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Salanzaca. I tried your name. Did I get close?
My name is Mary Salanzaca. I am here on behalf of the state of Ohio. Good morning, Your Honors, Chief Justice, Mr. Cook. Listening to counsel's arguments this morning, I think it's interesting to note that, thank you. I think it's interesting to note that what he's really asking for when it's boiled down to the bare bones is, hey, I don't really want my record sealed. I just want something else, something a little bit less or different. Well, what he's asking for is not what is authorized by the statute. The statute says that you can have your record of conviction sealed if you meet certain criteria. It's the conviction, and it's also the fact that it's all of the counts within the case, because the statute clearly refers, the sealing statutes clearly always refer to the conviction as being the entire case. And there was one case number, and this arose.
Was there ever a request to have the counts split into separate case numbers at the trial level?
No, there was not.
The argument was made by Mr. Cook that the state doesn't object. Are you in accord with his position?
With the position that?
If I understood what Mr. Cook argued to us, I thought he said that the state doesn't object to what he's proposing, that this be done.
This was not proposed in this exact manner in the trial court. The proposal in the trial court, as I understood it from the record and the transcript that's been supplemented to this court, although it was not available to the Court of Appeals, he sought to have the record of conviction as to 4 of the 5 counts sealed.
Does the state object to that?
The state did not object at the time on that basis. The state basically said, well, we have an issue we want to look into with the domestic violence, and we would ask to review that. Clearly, the trial court, at the time that it took the took the arguments of counsel and heard the arguments of counsel, was considering whether or not this very issue that's before the court was something that it was going to have to address. I would submit that I don't feel that it was necessary for the state at that point to stand up and say, Your Honor, we agree and you should address that. This is not an issue, as was framed by opposing counsel, that the state waived this argument. And
counsel,
the reason,
did anybody, my impression of this case is that it's a clerical nightmare in order to expunge a case that has five counts contained under one case number, even though four of those five are eligible for expungement.
Yes, the state has never disputed that the four are eligible.
They are eligible.
Yes.
And but for the clerical nightmare, it would happen.
I would not say that it's but for the clerical nightmare. I think when you look at the entire statutory framework of the sealing statute, and there is the 2953.61, which deals with multi-counts, it doesn't directly apply in this case, but I believe it's instructive of the legislature's intent in crafting these statutes, which is to say in 2953.61 that if you have multiple counts, and why this doesn't apply in this case is because it says with different dispositions. Well, in this case, all of the dispositions were the same. There was a conviction and a sentence. What they were dealing with...
Well, wait a minute. If you had with different dispositions, multiple counts with different dispositions, what would be the different dispositions?
The different dispositions were that there would be a plea or a conviction on one count and either a not guilty or a dismissal of another count.
You wouldn't be then worried about the not guilty or the dismissal for an expungement. We're only worried
about...
That
was the very issue that statute addresses was, can you expunge the conviction, or not, excuse me, not the conviction, but can you expunge the count where there was not a conviction and sentence? And the law does provide very limited circumstances where someone who is either found not guilty or has a case dismissed does not have a right to seek to have that conviction sealed. And in the example that was given, I believe was a DUI case where they said, well, you have a traffic case and you have this DUI charge, and because you have this DUI charge, we believe that we can't separate out this charge, whatever the underlying offense was, whether it was a speed, I'm not certain, and we cannot separate that out and say, we can seal that portion of the record, which is exactly what we're looking at in this case. Although that statute does not apply, I believe, again, that it is instructive because...
So if these were five separate case numbers, we wouldn't be here.
I don't believe we would, but I think it doesn't come down to just the fact that there's only one case number. It comes down to the fact that there's only one record from the outset, what you have at the police department, because the sealing statutes do cover what duties any law enforcement agency or public agency has with regard to those records. So it doesn't come down to a clerical nightmare with a clerk of courts. It comes down to what is a police department to say when someone comes in and says, I want the report for offense number such and such, and they say, well, we have an order to seal the convictions for these four offenses, but not the one offense. And
counsel,
that is a clerical nightmare.
Counsel.
Yes.
I think we're still rooting around in the minutia. When, if I understand Mr. Cook correctly, his position is his client is entitled to have the judge consider expungement on four of these charges.
Correct.
He recognizes that given the fact that is in one case, this is going to be a less than perfect expungement, which most of them are anymore because of the internet, because of things that clerks of courts have decided it would be wonderful for the whole world to look at. It's pretty hard to reel these things back in. In a lot of cases, there are all kinds of newspaper stories. But his client would have an interest, and he's pursuing something that will always be less than perfect because the nature of the way this is, because it potentially has some other benefits. He fills out an application for a job. He doesn't have to list the offenses that were expunged. It's unlikely that the employer or potential employer is going to go down to the courthouse and root around in the file. So there are benefits to going through with it, even though for all intents and purposes, you know, you'll still be able to find all this stuff.
Yes.
And I think that's really all he's asking for. And the question from this panel is the prosecutor's office opposed to that?
Let me clarify something in the question that you put to me, what the state's position is. In and of themselves, the four convictions would be expungible but for the aggravated menacing charge. And because that arose out of one incident, the state's position is that, as in the examples of the DUI case, means that none of the expenses.
And where in the revised code do we find that? That because there is one non-expungible offense, it infects everything else that you're charged with?
Because when you look at 2953.31, it talks about if there were two or more offenses that occurred at the same time. It defines a first offender, essentially, and it says that they are to be treated as one conviction. Well, in this case, the court found that based on the fact that all of these offenses occurred out of one transaction or incident or occurrence, that they were to be treated as one. Well, if you're going to treat them as one for purposes of saying you're a first offender and you are eligible for expungement, then I think that you have to give the intent to what the legislature meant, which is that they're going to be treated as one for all purposes of expungement. There is no case law, there is no statutory authority that says, oh, but wait, if you want some expunged and one that isn't eligible, you can do that. And I think that you have to look at the language of the statute, which says that the all index reference to the case, not the individual counts that may or may not be eligible for expungement, but to the case. And that's what the legislature intended, was looking at an entire case, what's eligible and what's not. And in this case, the state is not conceding that those offenses are eligible under these circumstances. What we're saying is they are not. They are otherwise eligible in and of themselves if they were not but for this aggravated menacing, but they are not eligible for expungement under the facts and circumstances of this case, under what the legislature intended by the remedial nature of the statute.
Why couldn't you just argue just the opposite, that all index references to the case, there was one case apparently, there was one entry, one conviction, that everything is when some are expungible, they all are, for purposes of the statute?
Because the legislature has specifically set out that the offense of aggravated menacing, a misdemeanor offense of violence, is not expungible. And I don't think that the alternate is true, because the legislature hasn't addressed that issue. I think that you have to look at what is in the law. And there was much in counsel's brief about not reading words into the statute, and that's not what the state is here asking the court to do. What we're saying is that if you look at the plain words that are in the statute, it refers to all of the convictions within one incident being treated as one. And therefore, if you treat those as one and one of them is not expungible, then none are. And there was a case that I cited, State versus Vail, out of the 8th District Court of Appeals. And what they actually found was that the trial court didn't have jurisdiction to grant an expungement because one of the offenses was not eligible. It doesn't directly speak to the issue before this court, but I think if you read, if you apply a common sense reading to that case, it was clear that they said, hey, you just can't do this. And I think that that is the state's position, that you cannot parse out these incidents and say some are expungible and some are not, and therefore we're going to expunge some of them but not others, because it comes down to the definition of a first offender, which this defendant would have to meet to be eligible for expungement, which is that all the convictions arising out of one incident are treated as one.
But he does meet that requirement. You'd agree?
Yes, he does. And because he has to meet that requirement, I think he can't then say, okay, treat all my convictions as one for purposes of my definition as a first offender.
Then treat them individually for purposes of expungement. That's your point.
Yes.
They have to be treated as one for purposes of eligibility for expungement.
Yes.
But then they cannot be segregated individually for expungement purposes. They must also stay together as one case. And if one of them is ineligible for expungement, all of them are.
Yes, that succinctly put is the state's position in this matter. And I just wanted to point out that there's much reference in Mr. Cook's brief to this being a right that his client has. And I know this court is well aware that the expungement is a statutorily created act of grace by the legislature, saying we will give you some remedial redress for having led a substantially law-abiding life and, you know, not having engaged in any other offenses. But it certainly does not rise to the level of a right or a fundamental right, and I think that that's important in this court's consideration of this very narrow issue. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Ms. Zelanski.
Thank you.
Mr. Cook, you say 3 minutes of your time.
Mr. Cook, if I could ask you to address the 2953-61 section. That does relate to when a person is charged with two or more offenses as a result of or in connection with the same act, and that the dispositions may be different. That's why counsel is saying it may not strictly apply. But the person may not apply to the court for sealing of record in any of the cases until such time as he would be able to apply to the court and have all the records sealed. That suggests to me that, at least in point 61, that you're really talking about treating a case as a case altogether. And if you're a first-time offender, you know, and you fall within the eligibility of the statute, then you're able to get the expungement, otherwise not.
Your Honor, I think what that section, and I know what you're referring to, it refers to a scenario where somebody, let's say, has three charges. One is dismissed, one they try and maybe are found not guilty, and then a third they plead to, all of the same offense. Mm-hmm. They could not move to seal all of the arrest record, the whole case, until the latest of the last charge. In other words, when are they eligible to seal that? Maybe if it's a felony, it'd be 3 years after release from custody or whatever. So you have to wait till the last time to seal it. That's what that's going to. And it.
But isn't the implication, though, that all of these would be eligible, offenses eligible for sealing at once?
Yes, it does. And it goes back to the Chief's question about, I believe maybe Justice Pfeiffer's question about the multiple charges, multiple convictions being one case. And my response is that in reality, we heard this term in the other case too, it's a legal fiction. When we call somebody a first offender, when we say it's one case, they may have five, six, seven, or eight cases that all could be deemed eligible and all sealed. What I'm suggesting is that even though the term is used as one case, if they were broken out in different case numbers, maybe that aggravated menacing has its own case number. We're not even here. Just by virtue of the fact that they are considered for probably judicial economy and ease of going forward under one case shouldn't preclude him from sealing the otherwise eligible convictions.
Well, counsel, if you look at that statute, and if you have to wait until in the example you gave, until the felony is, the time is ripe for a felony expungement, and then you can seal the other two components of that sentence. If you've got, as you have in this situation, one facet, one count that is never going to be able to be expunged, does that, and I think that's the prosecutor's argument here, then that would taint the other four because the time never runs. There is never an eligibility to expunge that one component. And then that precludes the operation of the statute for the benefit of the other four counts.
I agree with the argument, and I don't find that reading to be in opposite. I think that that's you could look at it that way, and I don't have a great comeback for that. If you focused on that section, you could say that this one statute prevents him from ever sealing any of the others. I'm suggesting, though, that statute has a different intention. It simply goes to when you are able to move to seal, and that he shouldn't be precluding, recognizing he'll never be able to seal that particular conviction. In our example, he'll never be able to seal, for instance, say he couldn't seal the felony, but why shouldn't he be able to seek relief to seal the other two, or in my case, the other four?
Which raises the question, why wouldn't that be an issue for the General Assembly to take up rather than for this court to reinterpret or add to the statute that exists? I'm sure there was a policy discussion over at the General Assembly on whether this is advisable or not.
I'm not suggesting that you'd be adding to anything, Your Honor. I'm suggesting that you, frankly, the opposite, that you not read into the statute that it's prohibited. And I'm asking you to make an interpretation under the remedial purpose of the statute to form this result that we think is fair and just, and in this, particularly in this applicant's case, the right result. That, by the way, in the transcript, you'll see the state did not object to. So I...
Thank you, Mr. Cook.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Case is submitted. You will be advised of our opinion.